Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For me, yeah, just because I know, like, I really was not trying to let T go. For me, it's hard when you out there and T not out there, you know what I'm saying? T out there makes my job easier. I make his job easier. We make the running back's job easier. So the whole game slows down for me. It gets easier for some people. So he's just a big help.
It's Jamar Chase on T Higgins. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
He also said the food in Cincinnati, or what he said, he said we need to work on the food here in Cincinnati.
Would you like Skyline Chili?
I mean, I personally don't know another thing they're known for.
Sam Monson on the Western Hotline. Sam would know. Sam, does Cincinnati need to work on its food?
So that's the problem right there, right? Is you said, do they need to work on the food? And then it's like, well, nobody likes Skyline Chili. Now, if that's what we're talking about as the food in Cincinnati, then yes, they need to work on the food because nobody should be eating Skyline Chili. I've long since given up on the idea that they may become a sponsor of our show one day. I think we've written off the Skyline sponsorship. It's bad. And if that's representative of Cincinnati food, it definitely needs an upgrade. But there's a lot of good food in Cincinnati. So, you know, it depends which way you look at it. What it's known for, definitely problem. The kind of behind the lower scene stuff, the individual mom and pop type stores, the little boutique places, there's some good food in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I've had some. I have a few stops in Cincinnati. One was post Kentucky Derby winnings. We went out to a nice dinner, spent everything we won on food, and it was, you know, I've got nothing but good things to say about Cincinnati. So, you know, there's definitely some good stuff there. Sam joining us on the Western Hotline, a co-host of the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo, and we check in from time to time. Sam, I want to talk about a bunch of things, but I do want to talk about the Bengals here. I know you've got a lot to say on the Bengals and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and I am very much of the belief that the Bengals definitely can win paying these three guys like this. And, you know, exploding salaries and how you build your team. The Bengals throw it a lot. This is their path to success. I wonder, are you bullish on this build for them, or are they going to be some cautionary tale about spending too much in one spot?
It's certainly interesting. You know, it's not the conventional way of doing things, but I don't think it's obviously crazy. I mean, this is... You know, people always treat these things as like, well, that's clearly a ridiculous way of allocating resources. But nobody would complain if, you know, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase should absolutely be, you know, some of the highest paid players of their position. So really all we're saying or all we're complaining about in that scenario is paying T. Higgins as well. And the T. Higgins contract, I think, is actually a lot less than I expected him to sign for, given the receiver market right now. I expected T. Higgins to be pushing north of $30 million a year. So for them to get him under that number, particularly when you factor in they're represented by the same agent. Like, that's the other element in this, that T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have the same representation, and that may have been a significant hurdle in moving on from either one of them, that this was like a package deal. You know, no Ja'Marr Chase deal without a T. Higgins contract as well. When you put that in mind, I think this is a reasonable place to spend the money. It's not like they have deliberately, you know, not paid, say, an elite left tackle or an elite cornerback or, you know, one of these other spots to make this happen. The money has gone more or less where you would put the money on this roster. Number one quarterback, number one wide receiver. You know, Trey Hendrickson is angling for a deal, and that will, I think, change the outlook. Like, if this costs them Trey Hendrickson, if they decide we can't pay him, we're going to move on from him somehow, then maybe it's a different conversation. But right now, they can still give Trey Hendrickson more money, even with these deals being done. And Burrow is putting pressure on the organization to make it happen. We know this works. You know, it's a great trio to have. I don't think it's a problematic allocation of resources. I think with the way the salary cap is going up year on year, this is not a trio. This is not an allocation of money that is going to cripple the rest of the roster.
I wonder if the reaction would have been more positive for some, Sam, too, had they just squeaked in last year, like what it would be. And that was with a bad defense. With a bad defense, I was looking at this yesterday. They lose in overtime to Baltimore. They lose on a two-point conversion to Baltimore. They lose to the Chiefs on a flag at the end that was on a fourth down. You just turn over one of those results, and I think maybe you'd have more evidence, or you would feel like you have more evidence that, oh, even if the defense is bad, they're still going to be okay.
Yeah, and, you know, forget those results. You can argue that the one game that cost them the playoffs was the one game the offense didn't show up in week one against the Patriots. You know, that game, because weird things happen in week one, we came out of that game going, wow, maybe the Patriots are better than we thought they were going to be going into the season. And it turned out, no, they weren't. They were actually as terrible as everybody expected them to be. It's just that one game in that season, the Bengals offense didn't show up, and they lost that game because of it. They, you know, had a turnover down by the goal line. But, like, that game, any game in their season cost them the postseason. They were right on the cusp. But you can basically make the case that the one game that trio did not perform was the game that cost them the postseason. So I agree. I think if they had made the playoffs, and we'd be talking about this much more like, you know, the Peyton Manning Indianapolis Colts. Like, they have a great offense and a bad defense, and that's what this team's going to be. And sure, the defense is a problem, but not to the point where you go and get rid of Marvin Harrison or get rid of Reggie Wayne. Like, this is just the dynamic right now.
It's also the fact that Higgins and Chase both stay. It falls in line with Sam in offseason where, I don't know, if there's 10 big moves that could happen in terms of player movement, feels like only one of the 10 happened, right? Garrett stayed put, and Crosby stayed put. And we'll see about Trey Hendrickson, but the latest is he might actually stay. Metcalf did get moved. Like, that's the one, DK Metcalf, leading to a lot of what's going on in Seattle and also what's going on in Pittsburgh. The Steelers are an interesting case study in how to keep things, I don't know, exactly the same, keep them afloat. We'll see what they do at quarterback. How did you like the price for Metcalf that was traded away and the contract for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the contract is fair. It's a kind of demonstration that he's not seen as that true, you know, top of the market, number one elite wide receiver. He's not in the Ja'Marr Chase conversation, not in the Justin Jefferson conversation. He's a notable step down from that, but he's still a number one receiver for teams. So I think it's the right kind of area for his contract to land in. His physical tools are dominant. What he's good at, he's really good at, but he isn't the all-around threat that those other guys are, and a guy that can work in any system, in any situation, at any level of the field. So I think the contract was pretty much right where it should have been. I think the trade compensation was pretty reasonable for him. It's interesting. Like, Seattle are maybe the most interesting team in the NFL this offseason because they are voluntarily opting into this kind of turmoil and upheaval that most teams desperately try to avoid. I mean, they've traded away DK Metcalf. They traded away Geno Smith before they had a replacement for him. You know, they didn't sort of get something in place and then decide it's okay to move on from him. They got rid of him and then were sort of like, we need Sam Darnold, otherwise we're in real trouble. So the Seahawks have been a fascinating team this offseason.
Looking at, by the way, on Seattle very quickly, the Darnold signing and that team's weaknesses, like their line's been bad as of late. And I don't know, is that going to work, Sam? Because we saw him at the end of the year in Minnesota when he couldn't get any protection. It completely fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, they desperately need to improve the interior of that offensive line, which was true this time a year ago, which was true heading into the offseason. It's been true for a while for the Seahawks. Whether or not Geno Smith was going to be the quarterback, that was their biggest offseason priority. Now, they then created priorities ahead of that in the offseason by trading away Geno Smith and then DK Metcalf, but it remains the priority for that team. Like, Darnold, I think, will be a significantly more vulnerable quarterback to those problems than Geno Smith was within that offense, but it was still a problem for Geno Smith. So, you know, they're in a weird spot because they've kind of openly said, we don't spend those top draft picks on interior offensive linemen. We don't think they're worth that spot. We think we can get them later on, and that's fine. But now for a couple of years, that has been the glaring weakness on this roster. And at some point, you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face by not just drafting one of those guys in the first round and solving one of those problem spots.
So, Sam, to the Bills a little bit here. We just kind of went through the Metcalf deal with you, and he's the one big-name player that got moved. I entered this offseason wanting to see the Bills add an elite player somewhere on the roster. They've got a lot of good players, but not a lot of like top-level players. And, again, like none of them really moved. So how much does that play into their offseason for you, where they've made a few signings? Bosa's a big name at this point. Maybe, you know, there's the injury risk, but their whole offseason, how does it look to you for given what their opportunities were?
Yeah, it's a pretty quiet offseason, and the biggest moves they've made have been the internal ones. It's been, you know, Josh Allen's new contract, Gregory Rousseau's new contract, Khalil Shakir getting locked up to a deal. Like, it's been retaining their own players and spending on their own individual roster guys. And that, I think, generally speaks to how well put together this team is right now, that they don't have to do anything crazy. They don't have to make splash plays, and free agency has sort of ceased to become an avenue for that now. It's not where you go and get those splash plays. That's why, you know, the biggest move we can think of is the one that required a trade to make happen. The two of them, really, the Geno Smith and DK Metcalf moves. Teams are not letting those top difference-making players hit the open market, and when they do, it requires massive money to make that happen. So the fact that Buffalo hasn't made a ton of these splash plays, I think, just speaks to this team is in a good place. It's in a better place, I think, than it was a year ago when it felt like a bit of a sort of roster reset year. And actually, they still ended up, you know, picking up where they left off. And we didn't see any kind of decline or any kind of drop back from this team. And I think now they're in a position of just, look, they're going to be contenders year on year. As long as you've got Josh Allen and a pretty healthy roster around him, you are going to be at the business end of the season every single year. And I think one of the most difficult things in football to do is evaluate what that means after every single season. You know, if you don't make it to the Super Bowl, if you don't win the Super Bowl, what is the takeaway from that season? You know, do you say, well, this has happened a couple of years now, something needs to change, we need to do something dramatically different? Or do you say, look, we're in a league right now with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and it's difficult to get to the championship, and simply being there or thereabouts every single year is the most important thing you can do, and then hope that one of these years it breaks your way? I think at the moment, that's kind of the direction the Bills are taking. Like, we understand we're very good and very close, and sometimes variance just means it goes against you for a while. That's probably the more sensible strategy right now than trying to go and change tack completely, which could just as easily take you in the wrong direction.
Sam, as we look at the AFC for a while, you know, Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens in that mix. Which team in the AFC do you think is the most likely to enter the conversation there with those teams? I mean, like, you know, Jacksonville, the Chargers, anybody you want here. Who is the next team to assert itself as worth taking on that level?
I think a couple of those teams in the West could be intriguing. The Chargers would be one, and then Denver. If Bo Nix continues his development that we saw from his rookie season, that Denver Broncos roster is all of a sudden in really good shape. You know, you start looking through what their needs are, where the gaps are on this team, what they need to do in the draft, and obviously that's still upcoming. There's not a lot of holes in that team. There's a lot of very good players on it. They've got a lot of players locked up as well. You know, I think that Denver team could end up becoming very good very quickly. And obviously you've got Sean Payton as the head coach, a guy that's been there and done that before, and now all of a sudden looks like he has a quarterback. I think the Denver Broncos could push themselves into that conversation before long.
You and Steve did a mock draft this week on your podcast, Check the Mic. The Bills at 30, and really the draft as a whole, like around that area, Sam, for the Bills, it's more corner, D-line, and then maybe, I want to ask you about receiver. Like whether this year is, I mean, it's definitely, I think everyone would agree, not as good as last year's class depth-wise, but if you see players at that position kind of in the second half of the draft class, that would be impact guys right away.
Yeah, I actually, so the receiver group is interesting because it doesn't have the star power. You know, it doesn't have those three guys at the top, any one of which would be wide receiver one in most draft classes. I think the high end of this draft class at receiver is relatively weak, but I actually think the class overall is pretty strong and the depth is good. And actually, where you're sort of looking, the bottom of the first round, the second round, the third round, that's where I want to be targeting wide receivers in this draft. I'm just fascinated by this. Like Buffalo at the moment seems to be on this just insistence that they don't want an ex wide receiver of any description. It's like, you know, they were so scarred by the Stephon Diggs experience that we're like, we're just going to resolve to never have an X receiver again for the rest of our time here. I still think that's the skill set that they're missing on this team. And no amount of signing, you know, Josh Palmer's or drafting guys like Keon Coleman have changed that. These guys are not, you know, traditional X wide receiver skill set. So that's the guy that they need to find from this draft somewhere, I think. And whether that's a Trey Harris from Ole Miss or a Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, you know, if they could get one of those guys in the second round, maybe, I think that's a missing skill set from this roster still.
Sam Monson, the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo on the Western Hotline. Sam, thanks very much. We'll check in again soon.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, Sam Monson.
All right, they need an X.
I mean,
let's go get it. Second round, Trey Harris.
I always feel
what he just said, I'm in. I don't need
feel
a first round guy.
A little better. I feel like somebody out there listening is like, these dudes on the radio for the 937th consecutive day are saying the Bills need a receiver. Won't they give it a rest? We bring a guest on and they're like, I mean, they need a receiver. I'm like, yeah, I know. I feel, thank you. Thank you. We say it every day. It's true.
Yeah.
It's been true for a long time. All right, 803-0550. Thanks to Sam. They were asking a question. They were having some fun. What animal would you draft if you had to draft an animal and play what position? And he had an elephant as his halfback. You're not going to stop.
Elephant as the halfback?
Like, you're not going to stop that guy. He gets the ball in the first play. It's tough.
I was thinking more like a... Not. You don't want to go speed?
What's no.
The cheetah is going to be the receiver then? Not the running back?
That's right, yeah. Quick note from the chat. This is not what's going on in the chat, but I want to bring up a comment from David, who wrote something about Luther Burden. We didn't get into it with Sam, but Sam's the person who, we were talking earlier about Luther Burden of Missouri, wide receiver from Missouri, who last year this time would have been thought to be wide receiver one maybe in this draft.
Yeah.
He went back to school. He did not have a huge season, and we pointed out that he played a lot in the slot. And Sam pointed out, you know, if you are pegged as a slot receiver, your draft stock will suffer because those guys are easier to find. It's harder to get the guys on the outside. And David points out, I was a little behind listening on the app, and I wanted to come in here. The Luther Burden slot point was interesting. This is what caused Justin Jefferson to drop. 78% of his snaps in college were from the slot. Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And that would be an interesting point. You know, I think about...
Yeah, look at this. The big year, 2019, the all-time great LSU year.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Jefferson's snaps by spot at receiver. Slot, 870. Wide, 5.
Yeah. How did Jefferson last so long? That's probably a part of it.
Backfield 27. I mean, he played more in the backfield than he did out wide.
That is something that is a part of, you know, the really good evaluators will say, well, can he do a thing he wasn't asked to do?
That's the reason he falls is because it's a bit of an unknown then, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be the truth of Burden. You're going to have to make a bet. You think he can do it? Because he hasn't done it in 3 years. And when he did it, he was a sophomore or a freshman even, and didn't do a ton. So you think he can do it? You haven't seen it. And the Vikings were right. I mean, clearly, they were more right than you could possibly imagine. He's the best receiver in football, and he plays on the outside all the time.
I also think, you know, as Sam kind of makes a joke there about Diggs scared them off, and we've got another comment in the chat here, Diggs being the X for all those years. I mean, Diggs was off in the Z, which is a little different.
Right, Davis was the X.
Yeah. But the point is, two of them. Any idea, I don't buy for a second, I think Sam was half kidding, that what happened with Diggs scared the Bills off. Oh, no, don't give me 3.5 years of elite production at the position. I'm so terrified. No. The Bills are not afraid of this. And if the Bills had the means to get a super stud out there, they would take that guy. If they were on the board, would they have taken Brian Thomas Jr.? Maybe. Would they have taken Malik Nabers? Would they have taken Odunze? Would they have taken Marvin Harrison Jr.? Probably. Would have taken all those guys.
We think they tried to get Davante Adams.
Yeah.
That's this guy that we're talking about, isn't it? Isn't that the exact guy we're talking about? He's a little older. But middle of the season, when they seemed to be trying to trade for Davante Adams, what was Davante Adams? Ex-receiver, big personality, wants targets.
He did
And they tried to get him.
He did play a lot in the slot last year for the Jets.
Okay. He wouldn't have for the Bills.
No, it's probably right. Right. It's... Hopefully Josh Palmer can do that job for them.
And I don't think he did with the Raiders either, right? Because Myers was more the slot guy.
Yeah.
I think.
803-0550. The Bills also don't use particularly wide sets. I mean, I feel like weren't they like one of those teams that condensed the formation an awful lot? Anyway, these are all like pieces of the puzzle.
That specific position, the thing about that position and who did it last year, one guy that did it a lot was Mac Hollins, and he's no longer here. And another guy that did it the most was Coleman. Remember, Coleman never lined up all around the lineup. He was not really being kicked inside. He was, you're going to hang out there. You're going to learn this position. This is what you're going to play. You're a big body. Come on, get off press man coverage, and you're going to block for us. Like, that was what he did. And he's the guy on the roster right now that I think they're probably hoping can do it. Maybe. I mean, they've talked a certain way about him too, right? How he responded to the injury. They maybe were a little let down by that. So it's, to me, going to come down to what do they think of Coleman? That Trey Harris.
Right.
They love the prospect. Do they like Coleman in this way still? Do they still believe he's got the chops to be like a number one X receiver in your offense? Not like a number one receiver. Your number one X. Even to a Gabe Davis level. Because if you do, then maybe you don't feel the need to draft that second-round guy that he just mentioned, like Trey Harris. If you're less confident and you feel like, you know, maybe all those guys that thought he was more of a power slot guy were right, maybe we have to be open to the idea that he's going to have to move around the lineup, well, then what do you need? You need another guy to play the spot he played 700 snaps at last year.
You mentioned Trey Harris as an idea, Mississippi wide receiver.
Yeah.
His NFL comparison by Lance Zierlein.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this name, and I think you're going to like it for the Bills.
Okay.
Alec Pierce.
Sure.
That's the guy that goes down the field.
He is not great, but he is fast, and he lines up outside.
He's the guy that Anthony Richardson wings the ball 50 yards to.
Right. Yeah, and that's like the only thing he does.
Yeah.
He just runs straight. Yeah, Pierce, I'd like better than him, I guess.
Sure.
But I mean... Man, look at this. He led the league in yards per reception last year. 37 catches for 824 yards.
Right.
33 catches for 824 yards is pretty crazy.
When we get back, we got a fly-through of the Browns stadium that is not yet real. Very important. It's not a real stadium. It's not agreed to.
Yep.
But got some good stuff to get to on the Browns stadium, what they're trying to do, their legal battles. And want to talk about it in comparison to the Bills stadium, because I think a lot of Bills fans are... addicted to panicking, I guess is what I would say. We'll get to that. 803-0550.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
DNWGR. If I'm going Top Gun songs that are best to drive with the windows down, is Danger Zone the one?
Yeah.
You don't want to rock Playing with the Boys? Kenny Loggins?
I don't think I know off the top of my head the other ones. I mean, I know.
That's the volleyball scene.
Yeah. Okay.
You could go just the Top Gun anthem, the opening stuff.
Yeah.
What's playing when Mavs riding the motorcycle? You rip that one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're playing some nice driving music for you. Before we get to the Brown Stadium thing, I was just toying with NFL.com prospect report. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. You might be shocked to find out we're talking about a couple wide receivers. Sorry.
Yeah, sometimes it just happens that way.
Just sorry. You know. So, Joe, NFL.com prospect report. Again, Matt Harmon of receptionperception.com, who I just re-upped my subscription, the godfather of receiver analysis for me, has not yet done his draft profiles. When he does, I'll lock in on who I want. But anyway, on Luther Burden, who we talked about a lot today because he's supposed to have been a really highly touted guy who slipped. He might fall out of the first round this year. Production wasn't very high. Played a lot in the slot. One of the weaknesses listed here is 75% of his catches were targeted inside of 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Football Focus, which does not have to be a bad thing. The Bills' offense operates within 10 yards.
Yeah.
You also want somebody that can do more than that. But anyway, here are the strengths on Luther Burden as laid out by Lance Zierlein, NFL analyst.
Early acceleration to bypass defenders. Top end speed to stay ahead. Eludes route redirection to maintain vertical momentum. Natural playmaking skills and instincts. Stacks, tracks, and adjusts to deep balls like an outfielder. Operates with sudden, well-timed hands. Plucks throws cleanly and away from his frame. Body control and ball skills to make the difficult look easy. Multifaceted run after catch talent with dynamic results. Eliminates pursuit angles with the ball in his hands. If that guy can play on the outside,
yeah,
I'll take it.
I want that.
The Bills want.
I want that.
I don't know if they want Luther Burden, but that skill set, but can separate on the outside.
Yeah.
Just in case Josh Palmer isn't the caliber you needed, they need one more guy. So anyway, Luther Burden, he's falling out of the first round, and the Bills have 2 seconds. Where you're trying to tell me they take a running back? If Luther Burden is on the board and they take a running back, I swear. I will just, you know, move on with my day.
I see him go in the first round all the time in mock drafts. The one I was talking about earlier where some of those receivers went a little later, he was like 21st off the board. Pittsburgh maybe was the pick for him. I'm just telling you, keep an eye on running back. Is it definitively the second most likely offensive position they draft on day one or two?
No.
All right, what's second?
It's
running back.
Guard.
No, it isn't.
Center.
They have all their backups. Sal's been mentioned every time we talk about offensive line. They have all their backups signed for multiple years, and all their starters and all their backups are coming back too.
Quarterback. I'd feel better about a quarterback than a running back.
Wow. In round two?
Yeah. That way you can trade them in the future.
Quarterback or running back?
Tight end. How about another tight end?
No, we don't. They don't need another tight end.
Hey, Quentin Morris is visiting the Lions.
They need a third string. You save that for the sixth round. Running back would play. Running back would play.
So, yesterday the Browns released a fly-through of a conceptual stadium that does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have a stadium that looks to be, as you drive by it, like built, and we don't have a fly-through of that yet. It would be nice to have one. We don't, is what it is. So the Browns offered up this world-class enclosed stadium that the owner, the Haslam family, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, they say they are prepared to invest over $2 billion of their own money or private capital. Maybe that's other investors. $2 billion in private capital for this new stadium for the Browns that is in Brook Park, which is abutting the airport. It's right against the airport, which makes me wonder, is the roof on it so you don't have to watch planes all day? Probably not. But anyway, this stadium, it's not just enclosed. It would be a transparent roof to maximize natural light, to provide an outdoor feel, and the first of its kind fan wall to celebrate the team's most passionate fans. That is a big step here. The first ever, the idea of an outdoor, you feel like you're outside when you're inside. How many other stadiums have that right now? You feel like you're outside when you're inside.
The Rams a little bit, right?
But that
that's
is turf.
Only on the side.
Sure, and that's turf. That's open air,
right.
But that is covered.
Mm-hmm.
So where do I feel outside where I'm inside? Bills fans that have been on the road, you can give us a call on this.
Mm-hmm.
Is Arizona?
Arizona was the other one I was going to say.
That's retractable, and they have grass indoors.
The grass gets wheeled out.
Yeah,
grass grows outside, indoors. Then they wheel it in.
I will say the idea of the Browns playing in a dome stinks. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And
anytime
any team throws out a fake dome, hey, look at this. You've got Bills fans ready to say, I can't believe they have that, and we have our new stadium without a roof. Like, they actually, the Browns don't have the stadium yet. Has not been agreed to. It's just some rendering.
No, there's legal stuff with the city, actually, because they're trying to build this thing in the suburbs.
Right.
And they're technically not allowed to leave the city.
That's right, because of the Modell law.
Yeah.
An Ohio law that placed conditions on how teams can leave their publicly financed facilities.
Yep.
So there's going to be lawsuits about if they can move to a suburb versus can they leave the city.
Bills fans can only, well, depends. Are you team dome? Because what's stronger? Is team dome always the same as downtown? Does it always feel like, I want a dome downtown, right?
Right.
The Browns are actually
dome in suburbs.
They would be leaving a waterfront stadium downtown to go out to a suburb 30 minutes away.
To the airport.
So you'd almost feel like you're getting, like a Bills fan would be getting, this is half of their dream, maybe. Not the full thing, because they're actually leaving where you might want it. It might just be all this just posing and threats.
Oh, right? For sure.
I mean, it's definitely...
It's worth pointing out, the reason this fly-through exists is to generate momentum for this stadium that is, you know...
They want to get people excited and get on board with it publicly.
And the Bills, if they did want some sort of virtual fly-through, it would just be to build hype for a stadium that is already being built. It wouldn't be to kind of, you know... push the idea.
Is Houston, did you mention Houston? Houston is another one of these, but they're actually retractable. Like, that kind of feels like you're outside, maybe not.
And they're talking about a new stadium in Houston.
Oh, in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Because the whole building is glass, right?
It's very much open air. Right, it looks bright.
Yeah. It's all natural light.
But one common answer I saw yesterday after tweeting out this Browns thing, by common, it might be five people. You've got some Bills fans that, I say this lovingly, the concept of a nice stadium to them is so foreign that they think the one that's about to be debuted in 2026, the new Highmark, ours is going to be outdated before it opens. Like, you are out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You are so poisoned by the idea that we can never have a nice thing that you think that the nice thing that they're building isn't going to be nice. You've lived 30, 40, 50 years at current Highmark. You are going to step into a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced, my hot take is that, what percentage here? 70% of the people that are mad that it's not a dome will get over it very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm of the belief it's going to be incredible. It's going to be perfect. I don't want a roof. I'm thrilled it doesn't have a roof. I would be mad about a roof. I'm glad it doesn't have a roof. And, of course, worth mentioning, the biggest difference between the Browns and the Bills, I mean, again, the stadium is not real, and the owner has just said they're prepared to. They have not actually done it. The Browns owner's offering up $2 billion. If the Bills owners had offered $2 billion, you might have a dome downtown. Yeah. But they didn't, and the negotiation was far from $2 billion in private capital. They might end up getting to a pretty big number with costs overrun.
Mm-hmm.
But... The Browns are saying $2 billion in private capital raised. Okay. And they're asking for $1.2 billion. So it's a $3.2 billion idea next to an airport.
Right.
Looks nice.
It looks amazing.
It looks cool.
It doesn't even really look like a stadium. It looks more like a mega complex. Because there's a lot of buildings like all around the stadium, too, that I don't think are in existence right now. Villa, maybe, or like plaza around it.
Yep. So anyway, I'm fine with the stadium. I'm fine with where it's going to be. I'm fine with how it's being built. I think it's going
to
be great.
This really would, if the Browns were to execute this, it would be, other than Minnesota, it would really be the only other cold weather team that would be building a dome. Everyone else is outdoors.
Detroit.
Oh, okay, right, Detroit. Okay, so two.
Right.
But New England's outside, and Pittsburgh, and Cleveland for now, and Philly, and New York, and
I guess Indy you could include
Seattle.
Here.
Maybe.
And also,
if you go that far south, Cincinnati's outdoors.
Kansas City is consistently colder for January football than Buffalo is. The Chiefs have had more cold games and colder games. And I think that there's like this Chicken Little, the sky is falling mentality. Oh, it's going to be great when the Bills are cost a Super Bowl because they don't have a dome. Like, okay, sure. Last time there was a blizzard during a game, they won 35-10. You know, like, okay, I'm sitting here and just panic all day. Last time they lost at home in the playoffs, it was the Chiefs. It was nice out.
Mm-hmm.
The time before that, it snowed, and Joe Burrow and the Bengals had no trouble scoring 27 points. Like, I don't have the brain power or the room. I worry about enough things. I worry about plenty. Worrying about the Bills being cost a Super Bowl because of a blizzard can't get in my top 1,000 worries.
If you're someone that believes that's been one of their problems, Bean has he said he talked about this. I heard him on the Pat McAfee show last week or 2 weeks ago. It was at the Combine, where he agreed with the idea that I don't think that our early contending teams with Josh Allen were built for Buffalo enough. That they weren't physical enough. That when they had to go to the run game, it wasn't good enough. So look how they build the team now. The line has a ton of investment in it. They draft running backs all the time, right? They did run the ball more last year. So if you're someone that thought, okay, they too finesse, not built to play in the cold, aren't they good now on that? Aren't you good? they did it. They built a line. They have a run game. Their quarterback is a power back, too, if you want it on top of it. He has the biggest arm that can throw through the wind more than the noodle arm quarterbacks that are throwing ducks. Purdy couldn't do anything, right?
Yep.
Last year in the snow, and Allen could do a little.
I mean,
Jones couldn't do anything in the wind a couple years ago. Allen could do a little. So every element of the weather is a deterrent. Well, your team has apparently taken that on and done a better job of building around
it.
That's
right. And there's a little bit of irony there because, you know, the Bills are probably going to be good no matter what as long as Josh Allen's on the team. But I think the bigger threat to their potential having the best team they could is fearing the blizzard and building for it more so than the blizzard is.
Right.
Personally. I mean, those early Josh Allen teams, which ones? The ones that the 13 seconds team? That one? That one looked like it was ready to go. That didn't get derailed by a blizzard.
Right.
So, anyway. The Browns and their new stadium, which is not real.
No, it isn't.
Not yet. It might. All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Get to Extendo Sports, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, Sal Capaccio's on the line. He's dialed up a little bit early to join us for Extendo Sports here. What's up, Sal?
I just figured you guys might have a little fun with this question. I threw out a question we're going to talk about today on Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're also going to have at 11 a.m. our guy, Boy Green, Paul Esden Jr. We're going to dive into the Jets offseason so far, so that should be interesting. But here's the question. I threw it out. I'd like to talk about this. This is on the heels of Matt Milano's contract restructure. We know that he's still with the Bills this year, and then he will be a free agent. Okay, other than Josh Allen, of the Bills players who started with the team in 2017 or later, cannot have played for them before them, rank the top five who've been most instrumental to their success since then.
Top
tough question.
Since Allen,
I got a lot of really good responses. So since 2017, that's Milano, Dawkins, Trey White draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than Allen, everybody who at least started with the Bills since then, they don't have to be on the team anymore. It doesn't matter. Who's been most instrumental to their success? Top five.
Well, you're going to hate my answer.
Your first answer is not eligible. He wasn't on the team to start. Right?
What do you mean? Stephon Diggs is the number one answer for people.
Okay, I thought you said he had to start.
Other than Josh, you had to have started 17 or later. It doesn't matter when. You can start last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Matter.
17 or later.
Yeah, or later.
I thought you were saying 17.
No.
Yeah, the answer is Diggs, number two.
The reason I'm saying Sal's going to hate my answer is because I'm going to actively work to answer the question the way he doesn't want it answered, which is who. Like, to me, Allen is their success. So now
I don't care who. No, stop it. I just want to know this is a Matt Milano question. Like, how important is Matt Milano compared to all these other
guys? The reason you're going to hate is because I'm going to answer five offensive players.
Oh, go ahead then.
Diggs, Dawkins, Beasley, Morse, and Knox.
I think that is unbelievably, wrong.
I would agree. But
Dawson Knox over Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer, first of all.
My immediate is Diggs, Dawkins, Hyde, and then Milano, maybe. I mean, maybe Trey White, and maybe Dawkins. I want to get some love for the offensive line. He's played a lot. He's been very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very good. He's been very durable and available. So, yeah, it's a good question.
I would say this, though, Joe. You bring up a good point because I did not expect Cole Beasley or Mitch Morse responses, but you are not the only one to give them.
Yeah, because to me, those two are... Right, maybe I don't have to add the fifth one in there. But those two, I think, are very instrumental to Allen. And to me, that's the big point here, is who got my quarterback to where he is? Who helped the most? And you know what? Like, even in that way, you could say Hyde or, you know, Trey White. Do that for Allen, too, because of what he is as a leader now and professionalism. But for me, what Beasley especially, what he did for Allen for 3 years to have that safety valve while he's trying to figure out how to play the position, I think was pretty good.
Would you really put Dawson Knox?
Over
Matt Milano, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde.
Those guys,
none of them in your top five.
No, I would put at least one defender. Yeah, because there isn't a fifth offensive guy that I think is even worthy of this. I'd go Hyde then Milano. in that order if I'm going for the defensive guys. Yeah.
Well, we got the question up there. Here's another one for you before I go. This is what we're going to have fun with this today. You ready? I heard a debate going on, and I said, it was kind of like a throwaway, like whatever. And then I thought about it. I said, that's actually a really interesting question.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is more world famous? Now, when I say world famous, I mean around the world. If you asked a random person anywhere in the world, if they know who this person is, they would know.
Very excited for this question. Yeah.
Okay. Josh Allen or his fiance, Haley Steinfeld?
Josh Allen.
I think Allen too, yeah. I mean, she is famous. She has, but she's like famous for a lot of different reasons. She's only in a few movies. It's like it's a couple movies. It's a couple of songs that went top 40. It's, I think, like a makeup line and clothing lines. Like it's kind of, you know, I don't know how to how to put it.
I would say Josh Allen too, but the debate from the person on the other side says, but how many people around the world like actually know American football players?
A lot.
I think more
than. And I think a lot do, but I understand the debate.
I mean, what's her biggest role?
She was in the.
She was in Pitch Perfect. She was in. But that's what I mean.
The new one. What's the new. What's the Marvel, or is it one of those kinds of movies?
She's almost like, would this be disrespectful? She's the Michael Hoyt of actresses, because she's doing
a lot.
Like, what's her biggest role? Okay, well, she also had a top 10 song.
Right.
And she's got a famous, like, clothing line.
Like, all I'm saying is maybe her signature moment, her winning the MVP, is still to come for her. But I just
Spider-Man? There you go. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
She's in a really good Woody Harrelson movie, too.
She was nominated for an Academy Award her role in True Grit, the remake of True Grit in 2010.
Okay. How old was she?
Yeah, in 2010.
Doesn't say. I don't know.
15 years ago? How many Instagram followers do they have? Here's another way to do it. Josh Allen, 1.7 million.
She'll have more than that. Maybe.
Is Allen not a big Instagram user? I thought I saw him doing golf stuff all the time. 1.7 million for Allen. Wait, is that on purpose? Because it's 17? Is that possible?
That's really funny.
Steinfeld, 20.3 million.
20 million?
Wow!
That's a big number.
I mean, wow! Holy cow!
Yeah.
I mean,
I think she's more famous than you think. I think Allen might be too, but she's more famous than
I'm
you think.
I'm not disputing how famous she is. To me, it's probably not close. All right. Good, fun question.
All right,
Sal, Boy Green, and money, much more coming up. Northtown Automotive Expo and Show coming up on WGR.
Yep. Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.